You are absolutely immersed in the Chaos Cast, hosted by two jerks and a dork, where we blitz on every down, seeking to get ejected for targeting, as we stiff arm your trash fantasy football team, your only place for chaos fantasy shenanigans. I'm your host, Brad Kreger, alongside Levi Basham and John Spears. In this episode, we review the CFL playoff semifinals and set the stage for the championship matchup. We peer into updated legacy statistics to see who's leading in playoff appearances and wins. We passionately scream and argue at each other about whether Derek's 300 bomb should count or not. And the mailbag, we just have a nice post-Christmas chit-chat about football. Let's get into it. All right, football nerds, we are back. The three of us are finally back in the podcast together here. And just in time for the fantasy championship weekend. And we'll definitely dive into that later. Before we jump into anything in regards to the playoffs and the results, I want to throw out a couple things. So first of all, let's kind of reset our playoff appearances all time. And so we've got Derek and Lance both secured their sixth appearance by making the playoffs this season. They are tied for first with six appearances. After that, Joey and Jeff come in at second with four appearances. And then myself, Rob, Amanda, Levi have three. And Jason and John have just two appearances. All-time wins in the playoffs. There's a four-way tie right now. Derek, Rob, Amanda, and Levi all have four playoff wins, and that is up to date. That's current up to this coming weekend. So Derek and Levi are going to be battling not only for the title for the 2024 season, but also for the right to claim the most playoff wins of all time in the CFL. So a lot on the line for their matchup. And so that's just a quick kind of glimpse into the legacy stats for the playoff appearances. A couple other things of note here. We had a bit of banter, the podcasters, prior to going live here about Derek's 351.6 bomb. Now, first thing that should be said, and this is, I want to comment on this because I know the guys did last week, but very impressive, outstanding, 351 points. That would be the all-time leading score by a long shot, would surpass my 330.4, which actually came in 2019. But here's the thing. We got to talking about it, and I want to kind of set the table here. In the past, since 2019, as I've been collecting and gathering statistics, I have only counted regular season games or playoff matchups, which you were actually playing against an opponent. So in other words, I did not count any bye weeks in the past. I did not count any toilet bowl activity, none. And I only counted regular season games other than that. So just as I wouldn't count bench players, you know, if they went off, like for instance, if a bench player has a 60 bomb, because I track 60 bombs too, I don't count it because you didn't start him. And it wasn't in a sanctioned game. And so that's kind of how I've been tracking it. Now, to kind of come back, and I can throw it out to these two, and we can talk some more if you like, but I think we settled on splitting the playoff stats from the regular season statistics so that we can kind of have a clear, you know, delineation between the two, the postseason and the regular season, which I'm fine with. I think, though, we got hung up on a couple of things. Do we count bye week stats? You know, that's, I think, something we should maybe put up for a vote. I think one or two of us was for it. One or two of us was against it. I don't remember, but that's something we can vote on. And then the other thing that I'd like to throw out there, and look, guys, I'd like to get your opinion on the text line, or Rob, if you want to put together a vote, a poll, that's fine, too. But with the counting Derek's 351 as a 300 bomb, which would kind of be making a special exception for that. But I'm open to put it up for a vote. So that's kind of where we landed. Any other thoughts on on that? Do we?
No, I think you cover like I like splitting up the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the regular season, just it skews to one or the other, and then it also just it's a lot more fun to talk about. There's more things to talk about with playoffs. It's like, oh, I'm really good in the playoffs, or you know, like we know you're gonna suck in the playoffs. You're 0-5 or whatever.
Yeah.
Something more things to smack talk about. I just with Derek's 350 you know point game, like that's just not something that's gonna go away.
No.
So like, why not just count it as 300 bomb, and we just move on from there.
Or we can just I thought it should be at least the 300 bomb, but I like putting up for a vote. But I mean, maybe just let Derek see how he handles it. If we don't track it, there's fun there too. You know?
Right. That's fun for Derek. You know, he something to complain about.
Yeah, he can complain about it.
I
think voting on it's probably the best way to go.
Yeah, we can just figure it out with a vote. That's probably the best way to handle it, because it's so hard to. There's no perfect way of doing this.
Yeah.
And we just got to make a decision.
Yeah, I am against, though, and I think this bears repeating, I am against, though, this counting as sanctioned points. In other words, like, just because, and I talked about this a little bit ago, but if we were to do it for Derek, I'd have to go back in every bye week for every bye week and every playoffs and add those points to each one of those teams as well. And the problem with doing that is it's a bye week, so maybe that team didn't necessarily set their best lineup or didn't care or didn't even look at their lineup.
Yeah,
and
I would avoid that.
That gets too weird. Yeah. Okay. All right, so we'll put that up for a vote, and we'll leave that there. Also, as you guys may have as you guys know, I was really pissed off about not making the playoffs, and so a little bit.
Out of town.
Dude, I was salty. I'm telling you, and so I got one little thing. I'm gonna say my piece and I'm gonna move on, okay? Because these guys have already heard it, but the rest of the pod's gonna hear it too. All right, here's a stat for you. All right, so in the 6 years we've been doing this in Rob's league, the team that finished the regular season with the most points won the championship three times. That was Levi last year, the Derek the year before, and Lance in 2020. All right, a fourth person, which was in 2019, who was myself, I led the league in points that year and finished 11-2 in the regular season, and I lost to Rob in the second round. All right, and then two other results. Jason in 2021, and myself this year in 2024 finished with the most points and did not make the playoffs. So this is not the first time it's happened, so I can't say that it's the first time it's happened. It's unlikely, I would argue. And in fact, I would even say that the year Jason did that was kind of an anomaly too. I'd like to go back and look how many points against he had, probably a lot. But at any rate, I also, not only did I have the most points, but I only had 94 less points than Levi had last year, and everybody thought his team was so dominant, which it was. He was 11-3, and I had under 100 points less than he had last year, and so that's why I was salty, because when I looked, I was like, man, Levi, he was the best team last year. I'm like, yeah, I pretty much had almost the same amount of points as he had, and I didn't make the playoffs. So that's my spiel, and that's it. So
I only have one thing to say to that.
What? Wham, wham?
Do it in the playoffs.
I know. All right. I had to do that.
He's still upset about it.
All right.
I get it. That would say I'd be mad
too. No, just event session. I'm moving on. I'm gonna be happy for whoever wins it. And we're gonna take a look back at the semifinals, which featured the Slop Nasties taking on It's What Plants Crave. And so Jeff and Levi, they've actually met in the playoffs before in 2020. In fact, Jeff beat Levi 253-176. But Levi definitely had a chance to even the score in this one. But Jeff starts out with some good performances from the top of his lineup, as each player exceeded their projections. As Bakebo, Bijan, Kyron Williams, and Burrow all exceed the 30-point mark. However, three players for him, Dowdle, Strange, and Denver's D, just combined for 21 points. All right, and on the other side, Levi gets bombs from Goff and Gibbs and JJ as well. And then JSN and Anthony Richardson also pull their weight. And Levi gets, and to boot, Levi gets 26 points from his defense, and which meant Levi runs away from Jeff here, 270 to 227. And Levi, you got to be happy with Goff and Gibbs and their late season heroics here for your squad.
Yeah, I got a little lucky with Montgomery going down, and like basically Gibbs carries or touches doubled, and to be honest, like based on him getting all those opportunities, I'm a little disappointed with how many points Gibbs got. Like they couldn't really touch him, and he's.
I feel real sorry for you.
I know. Yeah. Well, like it didn't matter. I didn't get a 300 bomb. But it felt like he could get 75. Like, I watched that game. Like, we could have just handed the ball off to him the entire time.
They should have.
Gibbs, like, if I somehow, you know, come through in the championship, it'll be probably because of Gibbs. Like, I just super lucky with that working out. And that's how you win championships. Just things happen that way. And I'm excited with Justin Jefferson. He had his biggest game of the year too, and it was like he always comes in late too. So like my team's come together in the right moment. So it's been a rough year, but they're finally piecing it together. And I was excited to get the Packers defense. That was probably one of my pickups of the year.
That took you over the edge.
I got no real complaints. Like Jeff's team scored. Like it wasn't like a great performance, but it was a good one.
Yeah.
And I blew him out by 40. So, I assume like going into the playoffs, a lot of people were picking Jeff to win, and I think I pulled the upset.
Yeah, I think like your scariest play. One of them, maybe Kendre Miller or whatever. But Anthony Richardson, he hit 30.
Yeah.
Like, that was a huge – that was a ballsy play. Like, you know, like, I don't know if I'd have done it.
But. I've been iffy with Russell Wilson without Pickens the entire time. It's been tough for me to play him.
He's still got 24.
Didn't Richardson have a touchdown run?
He did.
Yeah. That's why you play him.
Yeah.
I mean, that's big. That almost makes his – game right there.
Yeah. Colts are trying to make a playoff push. I feel like they needed to win.
And really, too, when you look at your lineup, it's kind of foolproof. Like, your guys on the bench, they all balled out.
Yeah, I could have scored, you know, 290 if I made some changes. I ended up, you know, like, I was torn between ETN. I actually felt good about Miller for some reason. Like I think I was I was torn between ETN, Tracy, and Spears, and I chose the wrong one.
Yeah, like it's so like your lineup just exploded top to bottom, and so for Jeff, Bakebo is back. You know, I'll give him the nickname. Bakebo showed up in the playoffs for Jeff.
That was the draft pick of the year. Yeah, Baker and six. Like, I don't think there's any pick better than that one.
Yeah, and I think we take a minute here and take our hat off, tip our hat to Jeff. He had a great season. Burrow and Bakebo showed up. I mean, all of his big guns kind of showed up in this game. His running backs were good. You know, maybe you'd hope for a bigger bomb from Bijan or something, but, I mean, you know, once you get in the playoffs, you're going to need some of that. But, I mean, his team was consistent all season. Mm-hmm. Jeff was always up near the top. I think a lot of us, like Levi mentioned, were picking him to make a run. And he made a run. He made it to the semifinal. His team did not. Number one seed. Yeah, got the bye. His team put up 227. I mean, come on. Run to a buzzsaw. So, great season for Jeff. Levi moves on to the championship. There'll be much more to talk about on that. And so we'll move on to the other semifinal matchup that featured the Cleveland Steamers, who took on the Houdinis. And in here, there is also some playoff history here, as Derek did beat Rob in the 2022 championship. And he did so in a big-time fashion, 296.6 to 244. That was a big-time championship game, a lot of points in that one. And they meet again here in 2024 in the semis. And Rob, man, he rolled into the playoffs with Josh Allen and Derrick Henry just being dominant. But I kind of hit a wall here in the semifinals versus Derek as Josh Allen goes for just 17 points. I mean, Derrick Henry does get his 40, but only one other player cracked the 20-point mark for Rob as Devontae Adams gets 26, but too many poor performances for Rob to advance here. Derek, on the other hand, gets big numbers from Brian Thomas Jr. James Conner continues to put up big numbers. Chase Brown as well, who's been a nice play for him lately, and Lamar. And Derek breezes by Rob here, 260 to 184. So we now have a brother ball in the championship game, Levi. That must be exciting.
Yeah. I mean, like, I'll be honest. I think I had a better chance of beating Rob than Derek, but I'd rather Derek win, to be honest, because he's my brother. So, you know, keep the trophy within the family at the very least. I'm excited he got the win. Like, he got the points scored. Like, he scored 260, but Rob's team kind of, like, regressed back to, you know, what a lot of his players were on these, like, historic runs. Like, you know, if somehow Rob had won the championship, it would have been, like, Jordan Addison and Jonnu Smith having, like, mm-hmm. month-and-a-half-long runs of 30-plus points.
Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah. Like, yeah. These, like, unsung heroes just, like, piecing together. And his team finally kind of turned into the pumpkin. is more like we called it last week with, like, well, if Josh Allen doesn't score much, like, we were thinking he's probably scoring 30 and that's not enough to beat Derek.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 17. And I'm not sure what happened in that game. Like, New England kind of shut them down for
weird,
like three quarters.
First half. Just, yeah.
So, yeah. Like, no big performances from Rob, and then some duds. The only person that came through was Derrick Henry. Which, you know, makes sense. Like, colder it gets, the better he gets.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, a good win on Derek. Like, he's getting back into the championship game, and, you know, decent shot at winning again.
Yeah, I think Rob, you saw throughout the season, it was Jekyll and Hyde. You know, if he started out 7-0, his team was awesome, and had that awful middle run where it's just like, what did he lose, 5-6 in a row?
He kept it up at the end
of the playoff. He got in. He scored a lot. And then the Jekyll showed up. You know, yeah. Whereas Derek's team's been the same dude weekend mostly. You know, obviously he's had some bad weeks, but it's been pretty good most of the season. And it showed in the playoffs, scoring 260, coming off a 351 bomb. Yeah. Derek's made good lineup decisions too. So, like, I mean, credit to that. And it looks like Josh Jacobs, if Derek were to win next week, would be on his third championship team. Like, that dude's just a winner. You know, draft him next year, everybody.
I'm telling you.
He's either a league winner or league loser. He's just got to pick the year.
Well, I mean, three of them, he's been a winner, looks like, or potentially.
Potentially, yeah.
Well,
that has to be the reason.
Let's give Rob his flowers as well. He had a great season. John kind of just laid it out. He started out on a roll, jumped out into first place, and kind of held on even though he was losing. He was holding on to first place for several weeks and kind of lost grip a little bit towards the end of the year. But he still finished as a 3 seed, right? The third overall seed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, and he had a couple gaffes. He got rid of Bowers, and he admitted that. And he had a couple lineup, you know, mistakes. He had some tough decisions week in and week out with Ridley, who was up and down. I mean, that guy. And, like, every time he put him on a bench, and just like this past week, he had 25. He would probably should have played Ridley over Jeudy. But why? You couldn't play Ridley over Jeudy. Maybe you play him over Nico. Addison had been playing well as well. So he had some tough decisions. He had guys who were kind of living in that same realm that were kind of up and down. You never know.
Harris.
Most of the year he was playing, you know, the two running backs of the same team or the two wide receivers on the same team. Mm. And it was working out for him.
Yeah.
This is the
Diggs. He had Gurley and him and Collins were awesome. He lost Diggs. It kind of was like the beginning to see the heckle side or whatever of his team, you know.
Yeah, so Rob has a great year. He goes to the semis. No, nothing wrong with that. Hacksaw showed up big. It's good. But we've got a championship matchup that's set, And as I mentioned before, it is the Bashams. It's Levi and Derek who are going to go head-to-head. And we're going to break that down next. All right, fantasy footballers, time to look at the championship game. But before we do that, we're going to kind of give you guys a quick reminder. We do have the Rob's Got the Banquet coming up on January 11th. Do we know a time yet?
Six or seven. He normally does later, so 7 or 8, I would assume.
Okay. In that neighborhood, 6 to 8 time frame. Coming up on the 11th, that is a Saturday. So mark your calendars and show up for that. Because we, Rob, as he does every year, puts on a great banquet. We'll have, you know, we'll have some PowerPoint presentations and some statistics. We'll have award ceremony and just celebrate the season. So everybody, be ready for that.
Yeah, and look out. Rob is going to have voting soon on the awards, so keep an eye out for that. I'm sure he'll want to get those in as soon as possible.
Yep, yep. Put in your votes. And all right, so we have one last game remaining of the 2024 season, guys, and it is the Houdinis going to take on It's What Plants Crave.
Woo!
This is the first time that these two have met in the playoffs, at least under Rob's league. And so there's that. Derek is also 7-3 against Levi. So Levi, you got, you know, some catching up to do there. But you did split the season series. So
0-0 in the playoffs.
0-0 in the playoffs. That's all that matters. Is getting that big dub for the big title and another banner to go on the Levi Basham wall. I'm sure he's going to try to make some room here if he can pull out the win. Yeah.
Just the run right there.
Yeah, we'll have it above the little board there.
Yeah.
I'm winning.
Yeah. All right. But, all right. So, as of this recording, Derek, because we do have games today, later today, but Derek leads Levi 74.5 to 22.4. Derek gets 45 from Lamar, who has, I mean, just been a beast for Derek all year. But he also gets 21.6 from Mark Andrews, who looked dead in the water early in the season. So it's just funny how the playoffs some kind of come back. Some of these players come back and either haunt you or help you. And Mark Andrews does a good job there. But C.J. Stroud, who's really kind of been struggling all year, gets just 7. And so there's that for Derek. And then Levi gets 2 kind of poor performances there from Pickens, 13, and JSN only gets 9. So Levi's a little bit behind the 8 ball to start here. However, Levi does still have the Detroit boys yet to go with Goff and Gibbs. And they'll be on Monday night, so there'll probably be some drama on Monday night. Levi also will need another explosion, I think, from Justin Jefferson if he's going to take home the title. And maybe in a... some, I don't know, maybe John may raise an eyebrow to this as well, but Levi's going all in on the Colts this week with his Indianapolis defense and starting Joe Flacco. So we'll see how that works out.
I haven't decided on Joe Flacco. I'm in between Flacco. There's no good options right now. I'm between Flacco, Bryce Young, or one of my running backs.
Look, I don't hate it.
So
that's, you know, that's where you're at. We'll see what you end up deciding there. But for Derek, he still has Josh Jacobs left, the fantasy playoff darling, and James Conner, who is questionable, but I think he's going to play, and he has a decent matchup there. So I think this is going to be close. I think Levi needs Derek to have some duds to win. So I'm going to take Derek here to take home his second title.
I'm definitely behind right now. I need some duds from Derek to win. So I don't knock the pick for Derek, especially getting 45 out of Lamar. Who would have thought that if you just saw the first 3-4 weeks of the season, would you think Mark Andrews would be on a finals team?
That's what I'm saying. it's fantasy football can make you mad.
And could have been, like, let's see. Week 1, he got 4.8. Week 2, he got 14.2. Week 3, he got 0. Week 4, he got 0. And he played those games.
We were asking if he was washed up.
Like
he finished 6th among tight ends.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, that's... I don't know, we've all said this before, it's a long season. Like, in those first four weeks can feel like, you know, that, you know, your season's over if this, or that player is never going to perform if they didn't have it. So, like, this is just another example, like...
Don't be a prisoner of the moment.
Yes.
That's where I get caught up, and I feel like we live in a society that's like that. It's like every Sunday, it's the next new big guy, and that changes week after week, right? Yeah. Like like I would say every 3 or 4 weeks, the NFL goes through changes as far as fantasy is concerned. Different players rise, different players fall, and in, you know, different regions, I guess, of the season, if you put them in 3 or 4 week blocks, you're going to see different players on those lists.
Right.
And so here we are at the end of the season, and we're seeing guys who we were talking about dropping. Like, you would think it would be ridiculous to even have Mark Andrews on your roster being league winners.
Yeah. It's just crazy. But, yeah, it's a tangent. But
yeah,
the way I have a chance is that Derek doesn't have, with his remaining players, doesn't have great matchups. Like, his three running backs that have been great all year have pretty rough matchups. James Conner has a middle of the road, but he's been hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, my hope is that the running backs don't get as much as they can. James Conner possibly doesn't finish the game. And I think that leaves me a window open. If that happens, I think I have a legit shot at winning again.
Yeah.
So, Josh Jacobs gets, like, I don't know why I'm putting any hope here, because Josh Jacobs always gets three touchdowns against me. It is a 100% out of 100 out of 100. He will get three touchdowns.
He's getting 30. He's getting 30.
And 18 of them will be touchdowns.
Right.
But that's my hope there. I need my good players to actually perform too. Like, to Justin Jefferson, Gibbs, Goff need to put up their good numbers. So that's my route to victory. It's I'd give Derek the advantage for sure, but I don't think it wouldn't be shocking if I won.
Oh, no, this isn't over yet.
No, you're in it, for sure. I mean, you got here, you didn't get here because your team was total trash. Although I had a lot of questions about it all season. I mean, I never hid that. I think what I'm happy about is that neither one of y'all suffered like the CD Lamb or the Chubba Hubbard. You know, going into the championship game, you didn't lose your key player. You lost Anthony Richardson, but you kind of picked him up late.
Yeah, I didn't. I only had him like the last month or two of the season.
So, like, none of y'all really lost your key players to being shut down, or, you know, their teams are probably going to hang it up or whatever. So it's kind of nice to see that, you know, Jared Goff, they didn't secure anything. You don't have to worry about that, or Gibbs, because I think with those two, you're going to have a chance, because, I mean, they can blow the lid off any game.
Yeah,
I will go with Derek. I think I've said it, his team, I think it's the best team. It's been the best team for quite a while. Maybe Thielen and Connor, you know, Connor being questionable, maybe that kind of helps. Maybe that's his downfall. I don't know. I find it hard to think that Derek's going to lose. But, I mean, he don't have Jared Goff or Gibbs. But he has Lamar Jackson, who got 45.
Yeah, Derek has already got points from Lamar. Like, that's so you see that 45 next to his
right.
So Lamar, you're like, well, I'm behind now.
Yeah. You think Jared Goff's ceiling is probably 45, 50, probably on a good game.
Yeah.
You know, he could get 60, but you probably like, I'd be satisfied with 45. And he's already matched that.
So yeah. You think?
It's pretty tough. I mean, congrats to both teams. You know, y'all got there.
Yeah.
I hope no one gets hurt. I hope it just stays to where it's not a blowout. I want some drama going into Monday night. I think that'd be cool as a, you know, person on the outside looking in. But yeah, give me Derek.
Yeah, in fact, I think that may be my top prediction in this matchup. Is I think my prediction is there will be drama in the Monday night. I don't think Derek is going to run away from Levi. I think, like Levi was mentioning, there are some tougher matchups in there. So I think some of his bigger players may not have as high of a ceiling as they normally would. And so I think he's going to score well, and I think he'll be over 200 easily. But I think Levi's going to be within striking distance come Monday night, and especially with those two big guns. And so, Levi.
What do you consider striking distance? How many points could these?
I mean, if he's within 70, that's easily striking distance. And I would even venture that out to 100. I mean, if you really wanted to go
50 and 50,
I'm saying that would be as high as I would go. I mean, it's possible.
70 is probably a good number. Like, I think that's anything that happens.
70 to, yeah, 80.
80, I think in trouble.
Yeah.
But they did it. They would have done
it. He throws it to Gibbs a lot, man. Yeah, 40, he gets two passing touchdowns to Gibbs. There's four touchdowns.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, Levi's getting almost every yard that Detroit gets. Think about it. He's getting Gibbs and Goff. He's getting all their passing yards. He's getting all their rushing yards.
I'm here.
Yeah.
I mean, and Detroit's probably the best team to have that duo on. So,
yeah.
I will say that would be my biggest prediction. I think there will be drama on Monday night. It's just how big will Detroit be against San Francisco?
Yeah. Big question mark there.
I don't expect Detroit to go nuts against San Francisco, though.
Thank you all for picking Derek, by the way. Give me a shot.
But if you were Derek and you lost, how would you feel?
We talked about this before. Like, I don't, we feel like it's not a, losing is not a big deal for either of us.
At this point.
Yeah.
It's my brother. Like his team's good. It's not like no one did. But
I feel like that's Derek. He's hiding something.
Maybe.
He's not going to be happy if he drops this game.
He told me that he wasn't upset. He wouldn't be upset.
Like, case in point, I'm playing Luke in the other league in the championship. He kind of was like, he limped in, but he was 7-7, got in the playoffs. Now he's in the championship game. Like, it's my nephew. I'm not going to be too upset, but me never winning a championship, I'd be like, pretty PO'd.
I'll put it in, this probably will give Rob a bigger ego than he already has, but like, if Rob had beat Derek and then beat me, it would have been devastating.
That says it all right there. Man, all right.
Does that make more sense, I guess?
I mean, I get it, your brother. It takes a little bit of the sting off.
Yeah.
And coming from your side, you didn't feel like you were going to win a championship. Derek's probably felt, a few weeks, his team.
For mine, like, I won last year. This run has been the best part of this year. Like, right. It's been, like, this year, this team has been a struggle to maintain.
Yeah, let me say this. I don't think I've ever told you this. I did not, and John, I'd be curious to get your sense. I did not sense that you liked this team all year. I felt like there were
players I liked, but like,
that's what's so crazy about fantasy football is you hated this team all year, and here you find yourself in the championship. I'm not going to be mad at you about it because you know what? That might happen to me next year. Right?
Getting there.
That's right.
How you feel about your team?
Yeah, I'll tell you after the fact if I win or whatever. Like, this, I may feel better about, like, last year I dominated. Mm-hmm. My team was great, and I won by 40, 50 points like almost every week, and it was like great year. But like, winning with this team may be a better feeling. I'm not sure.
Right, but I don't think the loss will hurt as much as if you would have lost.
No, it's all.
Whereas I think Derek, on the other hand, not to put a negative spin on it, if he were to lose, like he's going to go through some things.
I don't know.
Like, because that's how I did last year.
You'll have to ask him, yeah.
Like, my team was awesome last year.
Yeah, you had a dominant team too. Derek, even though he scored a lot of points, he had quite a few losses. He had double the amount of losses we had last year.
Right, yeah.
So, like... Like, it's not, it was never a given that he was going to be in the final either.
Probably the last 3-4 weeks, I felt like.
Maybe after scoring 350 in the bye. Yeah.
Like, leading up to that. But league's about winners and not the losers. So whoever wins, I'm sure they'll be having, and their team's deserving. You know, it is what it is. I was just curious, like, how people get there and what they think. You know, their emotions behind their teams.
Right.
Like, we'll see how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Best of luck.
Yeah, it should be a good one. Like I said, I expect some drama going into Monday night. And so if we get that, all the better. But yeah, May the best man win. And anything else? No?
No.
No back time. Let's do it.
All right. We don't have much for the mailbag, but we do need to. We did forget during the main podcast to really to touch on this. So Brad beat me in the toilet bowl.
Gosh,
he put up 266 points. Take me out. He's currently.
He's on a run.
Yeah, he's.
No, I'm
but
not.
Here, get this. How is this for drama? Brad and Jason are in the finals for the seventh place. They're projected now 216.3, Jason is, to 216.5. Who do you got winning this one, Levi?
Ooh, I mean, it's hard to go against Brad. It's so hot.
He scored a lot of points this year.
Cool.
And he's scoring a lot of points now. He got 31 out of Worthy. And Mixon kind of put up a modest 9.8. But his defense is rolling. They got 26.
Who cares about my defense in the toilet bowl? Or any other player? What are we doing?
You might win.
I don't care.
Rob let you down on his end. Yeah. You're going to pull your way.
Right, Rob, I don't care, bud. Sorry. I don't care about the toilet bowl. I never will.
He is. Because here's this.
I'll accept.
They were talking about the award.
Y'all can hold up the plunger.
I'll accept it.
Jeff and Derek were talking about if it's all messed up, like just leave all the letters in the bag. We don't want it to look good. Rob's like, no. It's going to look good. He was adamant. No, that trophy will look good. And if he gets it and it's not, he will replace it. So when he gets it to you, potentially, I don't want to rule Jason out. Jason still has a chance. But you're projected 0.3 to win. And you could take on the, was it, what do you get, the toilet, you get the toilet in, or what do you get?
It's a plunger.
You get the plunger for winning and the toilet seat for losing?
Yes.
Which you don't have to worry about the toilet seat.
Okay,
that
great.
That plunger could be on its way to
okay.
the Prager resident.
Well, here's what I'll say to all that.
Put it over the mantle.
Mm-hmm.
Is Rob, I know Rob is fashioning something, and maybe it will go with the plunger or whatever. But I know that there's 2x4s involved, and that is cool. And that I'm waiting for. And that will be worth the price of admission come the banquet time when Rob's giving out these awards. I'm sure there's going to be a very, very special moment. I mean, we'll celebrate the champion and all the other stuff, but we're also going to celebrate the Hacksaw Alliance. Okay. So there is that. And I am excited about that. That'll be fun.
So what do you, like, kind of going into this game? You may come out on top. Like, where's your head at?
I don't care about the result of that game at all. None. I get zero. I don't care.
He started Xavier Worthy.
He's playing like nothing to lose.
Right.
So I love this mentality.
Yeah. You can't. If you lose, then he's like, well, that's what I said.
Yeah, he's in the zone.
Okay.
All
right. I mean... You know I don't care, and that's why you're asking me. That's you're trying to get a rise out of me. That's all this is about.
Just thought I'd bring it up.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought it's important. You know, we hand out awards.
You don't think it's important.
Well, I set my
listen lineup. To how you talk.
I set my lineup every week in the toilet bowl. What? You destroy me. Congrats on the win. You're
no, I set my lineup too.
You refused to at the beginning.
Something
sparked inside of you.
Because y'all cared, so I was like, all right, well, I don't want to mess up the, you know, I'll at least, you know, set my lineup. So there's that.
Everyone at home, Brad could be the new champ. I don't want to rule Jason out.
Yeah.
It's still 50-50. You know, best of luck to both of them. Yeah, he's got a Saquon can go.
What?
Yeah, Saquon, he's got so many yards to break a record.
Yeah, so. He may break it or he may lose.
Oh, that would be tragic.
You could be faginated. this time next week, you could be faginated. So, it's crossed, right? All right, that's all I got for the mailbag. Brad, if you want to talk about the game, you feel free.
No, moving on. So, just a couple of little nuggets.
He's modest. I like it.
Little nuggets of statistical information. So, ADP, average draft position, is where I'm going to be looking at here. And the number one pick in particular, going back to 2019. So now this is the, sixth year that we've had a draft. And each year, the number one pick, has not won the championship. So that is one interesting nugget. There, Rob did make it with the number one pick in 2019, but lost in the championship to Jason. The next year, Jeff made it to the semifinal and lost. 2021, Lance made it to the first round and lost. And then 22, Joey went 5-9, didn't make the playoffs with the number one pick. 23, Jason went 8-6, lost in the first round. And then this year, Joe again went 7-7 and lost in the first round. So there's that. 41-41 is the total record if you're a number one pick. Wow. But the good news is they've only not made the playoffs as a number one pick one time. So 5 out of 6 years, you at least made the playoffs with the number one pick. So it could be worse positions to pick from.
So I feel like if you get the number one pick next year, you are automatically dubbed Mr. / Mrs. Average.
Yes.
That's what you're going to be.
Well, that's what you're shooting for. Your the predecessors have made it average.
So you don't want to bring it
full average. Right, you don't want to knock that down. So at least shoot for 7-7, which is crazy to think that it's 41-41. Like, but it's weird that you talked about Rob lost to Jason in the championship.
Mm-hmm.
Here you are playing Jason in the Tulip Boat.
No, that's not weird. There's nothing about that that's odd or weird or unique.
I'm just saying, it was weird that we brought it up. We were talking about it, and it's like, oh man, in this great stat of yours, you're also doing you're trying to avoid getting Faganated. How many toilet bowls have you won? Do you know? Do you track that?
No. I don't know.
You've never won the toilet
bowl? I don't know.
Unknown. Since Brad won't do the stats, we'll have to do the stats.
Please do. I do not track it, and I won't.
okay. I don't know if you have these on hand, but like, you know, which draft spot has the best record and least record?
I don't. I can get that, but that's a little bit of work.
I would be curious. Though Corey does it, where do y'all think it is?
Who has the best?
Before you even look at, you don't know. So you can guess too.
Well,
I would either guess 2 or 3 or 10.
Well,
would be like the top ones.
Actually, let me interrupt you. Yeah. I do kind of have it.
Oh, okay.
All right. So here's the draft positions who have won the title. All right. 19, the 10th pick. 20, the 4th. 21, the 3rd pick. 22, the 2nd pick. 23, the 2nd pick. And if Levi, if you win it this year, it will be, what did you have? The 7th pick, and then Derek had the 10th pick. So if Derek wins it, it'll be the second time the 10th pick came in. If you win it, that'll be the first time the 7th pick has come in. But the 2nd pick has come in twice, and the 3rd and 4th. So that 2, 3, 4 range.
Yeah.
Or 10.
The record, because like I was the 7th pick, I was 7-7. Right.
Yeah.
You're not. So like, I feel like knowing how many wins you get.
Yeah.
That would be pretty interesting.
I can do that.
Do you think that the first pick has the best success rate of getting in the playoffs at 5 out of 6?
It sounds like it would be, right?
Do you think
6 out of 6?
Or at least tied? Do you think there's one that is at least as good? I bet 10th is probably up there.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to.
10th and 1 can be pretty strong to me. Like, you typically. Yeah.
Well, Amanda had the 10th pick 2 years in a row, 21 and 22.
And she made playoffs for both of them.
And 21 and 22?
She went to the champ. Oh, 21 and 22?
Oh, she wasn't. She didn't have the team in 20.
No. Yeah.
But she's been in the playoffs 21.
23 and then
22. No, 22 when she got it, right?
22 and 23.
She made the playoffs.
And she went to championship game last year.
Yeah.
I had the 10th pick in 23, and I didn't make the playoffs. I don't think.
I guess the 10th pick might not. I bet first might have the best success rate of getting the playoffs, which is crazy to think.
Yeah, but not the championship. It's 2 now. Right now. When
Derek wins it.
And who was 2 this year?
Rob.
Was 2.
Yeah. Well, he did good.
He threw that. I don't know about about that?
He went to the semifinal.
Well, he kind of went on a 6.
Or are you guys just talking about wins? I mean, he had, what, 8 wins, right?
Yeah, he had the second most wins.
Probably lucky to get 8 wins.
He had the second best season this year. Only Jeff had a better season than Rob. So he had a really good year. I mean, compared to everybody else.
Having a 6-game losing streak.
He won 8 games.
Here he comes. Nobody.
He won 8 games. Yeah, what are you talking about?
A great season. If
who cares if he won them all in a row? He won 8 games.
I feel like nobody had a great season. The only team that had going to have a great season this year is the winner. Everyone kind of crossed the season.
Well, and I think it goes to John's point that this league is competitive. I really do. I think this year in particular was competitive. I don't think there was any 1-2 teams that rose above the rest, really. Jeff and Rob finished the top, but
I would say that Jeff and Rob were up there, I guess.
Yeah. I'm putting Rob in there.
He was in first half of the season.
If you lose 6 games in a row, that's all.
I don't know.
Can be honest here. He's not here.
That's kind of an anomaly.
It is. That's what I'm saying. It's hard to put him in the same as Jeff and Derek.
But he had a 6-game losing streak, so that's rough on him. Yeah, that hurt. Everyone had rough. Like, I don't know if Derek had a winning streak.
Maybe two.
No,
maybe two.
I don't remember. I mean,
maybe 1-2 games in a row.
Yeah, maybe. Jeff had a nice little. I feel like he climbed to 1.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. There was no a double-digit win team this year. Obviously.
No. That wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. It was a good draft. That's what that tells me. The draft went pretty balanced.
Yeah. You know. So, speaking of draft, if you draft Josh Jacobs, you're in pretty good shape, at least according to the history. And interestingly enough, we were all sitting around talking off pod. Josh Jacobs, if Derek were to win the championship, this will be Josh Jacobs would have been on 4 of the 6 championship teams. Jason in 2019, Lance in 2020, and then Derek in 22. And if Derek was to win again, Derek in 24 would all have Josh Jacobs on the title-winning team. So that's wild to me. And then Mike Evans, A.J. Brown, and Josh Allen have all been on 2 championship teams. Though there's only 4 players that have been on multiple championship teams, and those are the 4. And so Josh Allen, A.J. Brown, and Evans, I don't think are in the mix because I don't think either one of you or Derek have those players. So Josh Jacobs would be the only one there.
I can't think I've had any players I had last year.
You had Mahomes, Mixon, Connor, Warren, DJ Moore, Puka Nacua, AJ Brown, and Kelsey.
You had Mahomes twice on 2 of your titles, right? No, he wouldn't be on this one.
That was on Derek's.
That's right, yeah. So, yeah, he wouldn't have Mahomes this year.
Yeah, I don't have any new players I don't have any of the same from last year.
Yours would break the mold if you were to win a little bit.
Yeah.
But real quick, I think I will say that the MVP of this league has been the Fab. Like real quick, just off the cuff, I was thinking like how I think it's made our league way better. Just being able to have a chance at any of these guys that come off the waiver, the best thing. Because in Joe's league we don't have that. So when I looked up, I'm like 10th every week, because my team was winning. It's like God dang, I can't get these players. Like the Fab is kind of just. Great to the league.
Yeah. I look at players a lot more deeply with Fab because, I have to know what their value is to me. I know I want them on my team, but how much do I really want them on my team? But with the regular season, I'm just, picking up players and ordering them and hoping that I get one of them.
Right. So it does add a new layer, and I think it's made our league more competitive. So I think it's the best move we made was adding the Fab.
Yeah,
I agree.
I mean, an example of that is I don't know if you guys remember this, but me and Derek played in the last regular season matchup,
$1.
And he had a few more dollars than me, and that made all the difference.
Yeah,
I would have won that game probably if I would have gotten who was it we were going after
Grindo.
Grindo.
Yeah,
he had like 30 points that week.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was a 60-point turnaround because he gets 30 and I don't. And so that fab came in the last week of the season. So it's not just spend it all early.
No.
Sometimes you want it late, and that burned me because if I wouldn't have, and I was kind of throwing money out more towards the latter end of the season, more willy-nilly, and I wish I wouldn't have done that now. I wish I would have not thrown $200 at Xavier Worthy, you know right. what I mean? And would have had that for that last week because that cost me the playoffs, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just strategy involved in it. It's different. It makes you think, like, how much do you value that player over me? Like, am I even going to get... I want to make you pay for it sometimes.
And like, I got to be careful. Smart move by Derek by looking at other people's money.
But when you win, you don't have to spend absolutely. As much fab, which is good. So it rewards you winning, whereas the other way, when you don't do that, if you're winning, you get none of it. You don't get the advantage of it or having the money late or any of that. So definitely loving the fab.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah, I guess there's, you know, just looking at the draft and everything. I just wanted to ask you all, what do you have any new man crushes from your team this year that you're going to bring into future years and maybe grade that player a little higher than most people?
Malik Nabers.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah, he's been good, man. Like. Even on a crap team, like Achan, Jaden Daniels, like I liked him. Yeah, I'm not getting both of those guys again, but it's fine.
Yeah, it'd be tough to get. But,
I don't know if I could take if first, second round, both of those, probably not.
Yeah, unlikely. Maybe you get the four pick and you take,
Maybe
you take Daniel to the four, and then Nabers falls to the second round.
Yeah, maybe. There's a scenario where that happens.
It's like, yeah.
So yeah,
because Daniels is probably first rounder next year, I think.
Pretty close.
Or second, or late second, Nabers maybe.
Nabers probably that second, late mid to late second, maybe.
Yeah.
Those are definitely my two.
Yeah, I don't me. Gibbs. Like it's the first time I've had him. And he's been, I've never doubted him. I don't think he's had a bad game, really. No. Like, I've really just doubted them not playing him as much. Like, I love a player that, like, Justin Jefferson is another example, but, like, a player that, like, I can never, like, blame them for bad play. It's mostly, like, their scheme, like, they're using him as decoy or they're not using
him. Right, game script.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna get irrationally mad with fantasy when it comes, but like I'll never get mad at.
Right. No, he's a solid solid start.
And then JSN like was my big value pick, like in my so I always look at him as a good pick.
Yeah, I was wrong about him. I thought Lockett had one more good year. And he would be the number two or one with DK. And JSN took him a few weeks, seemed like, didn't it, to get his footing. But he really took off.
Lockett got injured at some point.
Yeah.
He had a big game week two, but, like, he really didn't go nuts until week nine.
Yeah.
And he was, like, a let
back.
Yeah.
Until this week.
All right. So, I mean, like, 80% of the season you didn't really get much from him. But still, I mean...
He got him into the playoffs and the championship.
Yeah, no, I know at the end of the season when it matters, definitely. Yeah absolutely.
Would yours be J-Mo? Your man crush? You man crushing on him, or are you just like?
Look, I like having players.
Man crushes on your team.
Well, you have Chase is a man crush. You've had before.
I've had him before though.
Yeah,
he's officially like. Yeah, I would put him up there.
I thought Deontay Johnson would be your like new man crush, but then he just like fell off.
That was another. Yeah,
I did.
And he's a really good player. Like, I think I would take him next year. Where he's gonna end up on a roster.
I think if he went back to the Panthers, I would be in on him again. But I don't know. I'd be a little leery if he's on any other team.
Deontay
Johnson.
That's one of the guys that I probably stay away from.
He's a target monster, I think, if he's in the right place.
Dobbins.
I don't think I would draft Dobbins again.
Really?
the injuries.
Well, I don't want to say I wouldn't draft him again, but I wouldn't value him any higher than I probably did.
I'd be willing to reasonably bet that the Chargers draft a running back next year.
Yeah, I don't think he's the guy.
Well, they got Vidal. They drafted him.
Oh, they have him. So it's either him or he's going to have a bigger role to get a running back.
Yeah, he loves running backs.
Well, so for me, I would draft Mike Evans again next year. I know he's going to be 48, but I'll draft him again. James Cook.
Kyler.
Man, he started out good. And he had some good games in the middle, but his last few games, I don't remember getting much out of him. Would I take him again? Yeah, but I don't know that I'd value him as high. James Cook, I would take again. Do I love him? Not really, but I would take him again.
You can't rely on his points. Like, he has those big games, but then Josh Allen could just decide to take over a game, and then he's not doing much.
Yeah,
that's what kills you. Is Allen's going to take all those touchdowns, those 13 1-yard touchdowns or whatever he's got.
Let's see,
that should have been James Cook.
He had four. He had four games under 20 points. All other games were over 20. So I would take him again. Most players are going to have two or three games at least that they're not scoring 20.
He's going to be good value, too. Nobody's going to take him super highly. He's not a second or third round pick, I would assume, next year.
Probably should be.
He's RB12 right now. Yeah.
But, people are going to take quarterbacks and wide receivers. And, I think I could see him falling in the fourth round. And that'd be,
probably.
Deal. He's a good running back to have on your roster, I think. I would be happy taking him.
He's on a good team.
Yeah,
he's on
a good team. Yeah.
So he's going to get some of those.
Yeah.
But Joe Mixon had a great year. I don't know that I would draft him again next year. I'm not going to go down to each player on my team.
Yeah, he's scary. Screwed up Olave. I just misjudged the Saints. Entirely.
Yeah, they came out first two games blowing people out, and they just went.
Yeah. Well, Olave passes the eye test, but the Saints don't pass the eye test. Mm-hmm. Is the problem? So I don't know. He's those types. He could be one of those players that I saw him open so many times, and they just.
Oh, I remember you're so fed up with him.
Yeah,
I could watch another freaking.
I hate that. But no huge problems. I'm McBride's been great. I think, but tight ends, you take a high end tight end pick, it kind of it can ruin your season.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like McBride, this might be my only year having McBride.
If he falls to you, I'm sure you take him again.
Yeah.
If not, you move on.
Yeah,
there'd be somebody
not hurt by it.
Heck with the tight end position.
Yeah. So, but I think my worst pick, I picked J.J. McCarthy in the 16th pick, and then 154, and then two picks later, Lance picks Sam Darnold.
Jeez.
And then one pick later, Jeff takes Baker Mayfield.
Think about that.
Well, the last pick of the draft was Nick.
Yeah, last bonus.
I mean, all three of those quarterbacks were drafted at the back end of the draft.
Yeah, they're all
and could have won you.
Yeah, Jason took Bo Nix and he got dropped. And then Lance got him. So probably 80% of the year, Lance had two 16-round quarterbacks playing the entire year.
Crazy.
That's what saved the season because he had so many injuries.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys were good. He took Kirk Cousins and Tua.
Mm. Dude, that's crazy.
Good. I think it was a fun year.
Yeah, for sure.
If you look at round 16, it's crazy good.
Is it?
There's some
considering.
Let's see.
Two top 10 quarterbacks in 16.
So Rob took Adonai Mitchell, which he didn't do much. He was a rookie. Brad took Tyler Allgeier, who was like a role player.
Yeah, he's a handcuff.
You took Zach Charbonnet, who I think you had all year.
He played, he was awesome.
Derek took Brandon Cooks, who became the number one wide receiver. Jeff had Baker. Joey just took Chiefs defense. I had the worst pick with J.J. McCarthy. Lance, Sam Darnold, Bo Nix, and Bill's D.
Yeah, they put a lot of points on the board that round, dude.
But yeah, that's all right. I just want to go through draft and, you know, some look back and how everybody went. Like, anybody in the text line, if you want to text, like, who?
Text Brad your man crush.
Yeah, text Brad your man crush. Just
don't bother me with it. Just Brad. And how many points they scored. Yeah, that's all we got. Yeah, send Brad your man crushes. Maybe Brad your man crush. I don't know.
Not me.
Rupert.
All right, Levi and Derek, you're on the big stage, and we're all going to be watching this weekend. Which Basham will carry home the coveted CFL championship trophy? Will Levi stitch up his next banner to hang in his living room? Or will Derek strong-arm Levi into making him his two banners? I guess we'll see. My bet is on the former. But in the meantime, if your name is Levi or Derek, set your lineup, put a helmet on, and always remember, nobody cares about your crappy fantasy football team.